Business PMO Podcast. Woo!
Yes.
VPMO Podcast. So, continuing on our leadership series here. So this one is, I think, near and dear to, should be everybody, but definitely yes. Project managers.
Yes.
You know, really want to relate some of the this discussion that we have to how to set priorities. You know, of course, there's an above the project manager priorities, but there's also on the project team, what are the priorities?
Correct.
And so there's some nice things in here that, that I think are good quotes. And again, as always, you know, love to get your thoughts on it. So again, just to do a quick introduction in case anybody is the first one, everybody get ready for a mouthful. Here it comes. David Helps, Chief of Staff of the Project Management Office for the South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes.
So we have an actual expert with us.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for being here. All right. So when it comes to priorities, setting priorities, you have things that influence your priorities, that everybody wants all of your time.
Yes.
And this one is also a little harsh because in the nicest, most loving way possible, sometimes you have to look at people and go, that's just not important.
Yes, exactly.
Or it may be important for you, but it's not important for me. Correct. Or that sort of thing. And that can be difficult to do.
Yes.
And it's also, though, it's priorities within yourself.
Yes.
That we're going to touch on. You know, how do you set time aside for yourself when everybody's pulling at you?
Correct.
So this one might be a little bit of a longer session than normal, but we'll still try to keep it to that, you know, 15, 20 minutes. We'll see. Good luck. All right. So priority pressures. We're really talking about the key to leadership here is the ability to set priorities for you, for your team, for all this. And so they say that most people overestimate is the importance of most things.
Yes.
Now, just in case somebody's driving in their car, I want to say that again just a little bit. Most people overestimate the importance of most things.
Yes.
Meaning, it's like everything's important.
Yes.
Everything can't be important.
Everything's number one.
So. And so the quote that we're given from our book here comes from psychologist William James. And he says, the art of being wise is knowing what to overlook.
Yes.
The art of being wise is knowing what to overlook. So here's the question.
Which is very interesting. Because if you think about what you just said and think about agile, simplicity. Yeah. The art of not those stuff, not the work not needing to be done.
Yes.
Right. So it kind of goes hand in hand where the agile components talk about simplicity, meaning, you know, how much of this work really doesn't need to be done.
Yeah.
What are the simple bases we can get to? When I saw that quote that you had on here, first thing that went to my head was agile.
It is. And this is what the whole manifesto really is about on the Agile Manifesto.
Yes.
Is what is really important here? Do I need this system documentation?
Exactly.
Or do I need something that works?
Do we need 100 features or can 25 really good ones get our customers what they need?
Exactly. So what's an example where it could be you or somebody who had too many priorities to the degree that they just couldn't move.
Yes.
You know, that they fit into this this idea that if everything is the highest priority, then really nothing's a priority.
Correct.
And they just can't make a decision. They can't move, much less lead people.
Yes.
You ever run into this yourself?
I've actually had a leader that fell into this one exactly.
Oh, let's hear it.
So she had so many things going on. One of her first problems was she would not say no. She would not say no. Everything was, oh, yes, my office can do that. Yes, oh, we can get that done. Oh, yes, we can take care of that. And so our list just exponentially increased. And then when she started thinking about it, started getting into it, and she was like, oh, well, this is priority because I promised this, and this is priority because I promised that. Oh, and then we got to do this, and oh my gosh, the director wants this done. And then she got to the point where she could not determine which of the priorities was the real priority.
How'd you break her of this?
So,
break her of that. Maybe that's too harsh, but how did you get her to break that pattern?
We did.
Oh,
we did. We literally in our own teams reprioritized stuff according to what we knew about the agency and what we knew about the stakeholders that had requested all of them. What we did do was ask her, well, who requested this? When did you get that request? When did, you know, so we got more information. And then we prioritized and started putting stuff in and putting stuff together. Needless to say, she left.
It was one of those stories.
Yes, she decided that it was too much.
Okay.
And said, you know what, I got to go, and left. But that was a major problem. Yeah. Because, I mean, think about what that does to your team. I have seen team morale drop really bad, and to the point where I've had employees crying in my office because everything was priority one and everything had to be done and everything had some similar due dates and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, our people can't work at 300% to get all this done. What is number one? What is number two? And it's not everything. It can't be.
Yep. Yeah, you got to have that line. There was a CEO that I knew of this long time ago. It's in Colorado. And the way he did the budget with his staff is he said, you make your list of priorities. You don't know where I'm going to draw the line.
Yes.
I'm going to draw a line, and anything below the line is not getting in your budget.
Yes.
And that really freaked them out.
Yeah. Yes.
It made them think. You know, which one is the priority?
Yeah, what is the priority? I mean, working for someone like that, some people that would aggravate them, right?
Yes, it would.
It would aggravate them. But honestly,
and it did.
but honestly, if you really think about it, that's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, give me your priorities and rank order them, and then I'm cutting some. And as a staff person, that should give you some hope. That, okay, so even though I tell him all these things, or her, all these things are really important, they're not going to make it unrealistic. They're going to give me a cutoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're not trying to do 20 things anymore.
Exactly.
You know, so I like it. The story, it's a tragic story, actually. This goes back to the 1970s. And one of the stories shared in this book is there's Eastern Airlines.
Yeah.
I never even heard of Eastern Airlines. If it still exists, I apologize to all of you at Eastern Airlines. Never heard of it. Back in the 70s, the plane was coming in for a landing, and when the wheels come out, a light comes on.
Yes.
Well, for the front landing wheel.
Yes.
And forgive me for the technical term.
The
front wheel.
The front wheel.
The light didn't come on.
Yes.
And this is right in the middle of them going through their landing process. They see the light didn't come on, so the pilot abandoned the landing, put the airplane in a holding pattern.
Yes.
And so this plane's flying in circles. Now, they didn't have the same technology then.
Correct.
So how did they do it? They said, well, we don't know if the wheels came out or not, or if it's just a bad light bulb.
Yeah.
So while they're in the holding pattern, everybody in the airplane, they're trying to look, you know, where is, can I see a wheel? Yeah. I can't see the wheel, you know, I don't know if it's really open, if it's not open. Uh-huh. And so they were looking out the windows, and he said, okay, you know, let's go down. We're going to look into the, I don't know what the area is.
Yeah.
There's no windows at the bottom of an airplane, but I guess there must have been some other mechanics, right? And so they're flying in a circle. Well, here's the tragedy.
Yeah.
They didn't realize, as they're focused on this light, they didn't realize they were losing altitude.
Yes.
And so it crashed.
Yes.
And over 100 people died.
Yeah.
And so while they're trying to figure out the light bulb or the landing thing, they lost track of the other priorities.
Yes.
And it turned out when they did the inspection, it was a bad light bulb.
Yeah.
The wheel did come out.
It was.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And this is kind of along the lines of what can happen to mm-hmm. your team and everybody that's affected by your team.
Yes.
It may not always be life or death, but if your team is focused on, the whole team is focused on a problem over here. Now, I know.
Yes.
Because of your position and because we worked together in the past, and everybody knows the C word, right? COVID.
Yes.
And this is that whole thing of sometimes it takes an emergency to get people to focus.
Yes.
There are a lot of states, not just the beautiful state of South Carolina, but a lot of states that have clinics.
Yes.
And they delay the software necessary to track immunizations, to track medications. It's all done by paper. They don't have any kind of efficient system so that when tragedy strikes, instead they're stuck in operations mode. So when tragedy strikes, all of a sudden, operations mode almost becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so then they have to put things in there. Now, you should have some great stories about this from COVID. Now, without lighting anybody up, can you think of when we were in COVID mode as a state, really as a world, when we were in COVID mode where you can confirm that there are scenarios where, unfortunately, it takes an emergency to get us to focus on what's really important?
Yeah. Well, and right to your point, the systems that were, or the lack thereof, that were in place at the time were not efficient for anything that actually occurred. Mm-hmm. I mean, you also got to remember, they were like, oh, it's COVID, a month, we'll be on shutdown for a month, we'll be back out, everything will be fine, we'll be back normal.
I remember that. We're going to fly this curve and get back to
normal. Two years later. So I think what people really started to realize real quick was that we had not positioned ourselves on the things that were really important as a foundational piece. We stopped focusing on those things. We focused on the things that were shiny.
Yeah.
Right? We focused
the
on
sexy
the things
projects,
that, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, the sexy projects. The things that were gonna, you know, make us get in the newspaper about, look at this really cool thing that they did.
Yeah.
But what we found was it was the foundational pieces that were the things that were needed during COVID. Mm-hmm. It was the foundational pieces which we had not
just kept kicking.
We
the
had
can
we
down the
we
line.
Kept kicking the can down the line. We had not put effort into them because they weren't sexy. They weren't flashy. They weren't the things that were going to, you know, make a name for somebody. It was the foundational piece that was actually going to make stuff work.
Yep.
And we just kept kicking that down, and when it finally hit and we finally started going, okay, what are we going to do for this? How are we going to get this faster? How are we going to get this done, you know, this information to people quicker and more efficiently? And then we realized, oh, well, maybe if we had, you know, made sure that server was updated, and maybe if we had made sure that system was structured so that it could take in hundreds of thousands of records, not just 10,000 records, then, you know, we'd be able to be more efficient, more effective.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's you got to be careful of the shiny things, and you got to be careful of over prioritizing.
Yeah. So we always want to try to help people when they're listening to podcasts.
This
basically is, we just finished talking about the pressures, the things that hindsight being 2020, it's beautiful. You're aware of the pressures. And the point of that is to help people identify when they're under pressure, and so then they can snap out of it and break free from it. So here's some things that are put forward as principal priorities.
Yes.
So the first one, work smarter has a higher return than working harder.
Yes.
All right. So novelist Franz Kafka, and I had to look at my notes on that because I always mess it up, but novelist Franz Kafka says, and this first time I ever heard this, productivity is being able to do things you were never able to do before. I've always thought of it as productivity is getting more done.
More done.
Than I did before.
Yeah.
Not, I didn't really dig a little bit deeper and say, well,
yeah.
Is it that I'm getting more done? Because I can get more done by putting more time into it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you can say, well, I'd just be
well,
more
I can
efficient.
Get more done by just throwing more things on my to-do list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, not that those do anything for me.
That's right. So who are those that got ahead? Who are those that got ahead? And so this other one is a marketing expert, Dan Kennedy, along the same you know, principle here, is that disciplined use of the time that everybody else wastes is what gives you the advantage.
Yes.
So if we start to think of our priorities,
yes,
can we, how do we do this? How do we sit there and say, I'm going to try to do whatever my work is, but in a way that I've never done it before?
Yes. And a key word there, the key word that you just said, discipline.
Discipline.
That's a key to a lot of what we've been talking about, right? Productivity, being able to do things that you were never able to do before, can only occur if you discipline yourself to push yourself to try to do the things you've never done before.
It really forces you to think out, and I hate to be so like,
yeah,
you know, think outside the box.
Yeah.
But really,
yes.
How can you do it? And again, we can leverage off of this COVID scenario.
Yeah.
Before COVID, there were a lot of people who didn't believe you can't work from home all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we did it for like 3 years.
Yeah. And that now it's like, now, I can do everything.
Yeah. They realized in doing this differently.
Yeah.
They realized a lot of what they were doing really can be done. And the technology advanced in such a way.
Oh my gosh, look at Zoom, Teams.
Amazing.
They were not fully ready the mass.
Yep.
Right? So those first several meetings, mm-hmm. the first several meetings, the glitches, the,
yeah.
oh, that.
Yeah.
you know. But the thing was, is they had the right people in those industries looking at all of the data as quickly as possible and setting very specific priorities for the companies to change as quickly as possible and adjust as quickly as possible to fix those problems.
Yeah.
When we were in just year one of COVID, the quality of those platforms got better. The capabilities of mass got better because they focused on the right priorities.
Yep.
And they disciplined themselves to know where to look and how to look, and discipline themselves to figure out how to be better. And that's what got them to make those changes as quickly as possible.
So here's one where I'm going to combine a couple here,
because
I know we could talk about this for hours.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So this one, you can't have it all. And the story, of course, is a mountain climber. He's going up to the top of a very high mountain. Which one is it? Mount Blaine in the French Alps.
Yes.
And the guide says, you can't take all that stuff. He's like, yes, I can. And so he does.
Yes.
And then he leaves early. And the rest of the team, they know his trail.
Yes.
Because as he got higher, he started leaving behind stuff. Candy bars, you know, camera equipment. All of a sudden, you know, his priorities became defined through work.
Yes.
And this kind of blends with the third one, which is the good is always the enemy of the best.
Yes.
The good is always the enemy of the best.
Yes.
And the story shared to illustrate it is there's a lighthouse, and this apparently is a true story. Somebody's in charge of the lighthouse. The town gave this person in charge of the lighthouse enough oil to always have the lighthouse going, because back then, you know, there's no radar.
Yes.
You know, the boats come in. If they don't know where the rocks are, they crash.
Yep.
And over the month, you know, people come up to, I have this personal situation going on. Can I have just a little bit of the oil? And so he did, you know, he was doing a good thing.
Oh,
he was doing that. And then inevitably,
Yeah.
A big storm came, and it was a huge storm, and he ran out of oil, the light went out, and there was a boat that crashed, and yes. lots of people died.
Yep.
So taking these two things, you can't have it all.
Correct.
And sometimes, even if you're doing the good thing, you need to consider, well, what's best?
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
So when you look at those stories and when you look at what was actually going on, it, in the first case, it's all about the person went up there thinking they were going to be able to do all of this stuff and get through all of these accomplishments. And then on the way, they realize, I've got to survive.
Yeah.
And the only way to survive is to dump the stuff that isn't required, mm-hmm. aka top priority. So they yep. start dropping everything. The second one's more about even though it's good intent and you're trying to help, you've got to keep your eye on that clear, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you got to keep your eye on that clear, concise vision of what it is you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman, whoever it was, the lighthouse keeper, kind of took their eye off of the clear vision of, I'm here to save lives from the ocean, mm-hmm. not from the people right here.
Yeah.
They, even though they might have had a situation, there's other ways they can fix that here. That boat can't fix it. They're on the waves, and that's they're right. coming in full bore. So it's learning how to correctly prioritize, and it's learning how to use your resources and your capabilities to their utmost.
This is, again, it's a good segue, because the next one is when you have to choose, well, what is good and what is best? And
yes.
so they give a couple examples here. One, proactive beats reactive.
Oh, yes.
That always seems to, like, nobody really struggles with that one that I know of.
Well
you know, what do you think?
Well,
I don't know anymore.
It's always better to be proactive. We yeah. know this, right?
Yeah.
We know this. We understand this. But do you know how many of our companies and our businesses and our agencies are all just reactive in nature?
Reacting to the next emergency.
They're just reacting to the next emergency. And sometimes our emergencies, we get in these emergencies because we were not proactive to begin with.
Well, and one of the things that he points out in here is when you say proactive beats reactive, it's forcing a person to ask a question.
Yes.
Of, it's not about, will I have something to do? It's about, will the things I do make a difference?
Correct.
Now, I could go on a rant for a long time
yes.
because I've worked in several different state governments and yeah. see how these governments work and see how, but even not just government, even
yeah.
in private business.
It's
where
even in private business.
People are sitting there and they don't have work to do, so they get nervous. So then
yes.
they just start doing something, and then
yes.
when something important comes along, they say, oh, I'm too busy.
Correct.
So this is how you get into proactive versus reactive, is stop being worried about having nothing to do and filling
yes.
it just with stuff.
Correct.
And find that thing that's going to actually make a difference.
Correct.
I think the companies would appreciate that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, I think as individuals, just people, we can be the best versions of ourselves when we stop filling our days with just stuff.
Yeah.
And we really focus and think about, when we sit down and really think about ourselves, and we think about what we need to do to be better people, we have to put more effort into that, proactively working on that. Because if you just fill your day with stuff, mm-hmm. then what are you really accomplishing?
Yeah.
What have you done to help?
And these will be the first people that get cut in a reduction in force.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to set a priority.
Yes.
And they're going to look at what you're doing and say, you're just working on a bunch of stuff I don't care about.
Correct.
You're not making a difference here.
Correct. Yeah.
Job security. All right, well, let's wrap that up and call this a wrap of a session. I know we could go on for this one for a while. I think this is going to be a long session.
Yeah.
Hope that folks got something out of it. When we meet for the next session, we're going to talk about priorities some more, but we're going to focus on the solutions.
Correct.
So we talked about pressures. We talked about some principles that will guide you, and we'll pick up where we left off. But thanks again for your time, as always.
Anytime.
It's great, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Yes.
All right. Have a good week.